Thursday night football. Jets travel to the Colts for what should be an interesting game. I don't really know what to make of it, but that's why we're here to talk about it. Giving you the Colts, Dominic.
Yeah, we can call it interesting if you want to call it. I don't really know if I'd call it a football game, but so we'll go with interesting. I do think the Colts are obviously the better team here. They're favored by 10 points, so I do think they're going to win here. The guy I'm most intrigued here, I know everybody's going to start Jonathan Taylor, and you should, and as well as Michael Pittman. But we saw what, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals did last week. I really like Carson Wentz this week. I think he can be a top quarterback. You have Tom Brady on bye this week. So you are missing maybe a couple of your quarterbacks that you may want to start this week. If you have, you know, Carson Wentz on your team, I actually really like him. I think he could be a top five or six quarterback by the end of the week, just with Michael Pittman there, with Jonathan Taylor, with Nyheim Hines. T.Y. Hilton's going to be back for this game as well. We know what kind of connection he can have with his quarterbacks, especially if he's the only guy there. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the team. But I do really like Carson Wentz this week if you want to get off to a good start on a Thursday with, against the Jets.
I definitely like that call. Things have been heating up for Wentz, and things are looking good. So appreciate it. Jets side of the ball. Looks like Mike White is starting again. What last week, we really didn't expect anything, and he had a good week for fantasy at the very least. He had 45 pass attempts, but only traveling about 200 air yards. I mean, he had an A-dot average depth of target of 4.4, which is incredibly low for a quarterback. He was also targeting his running backs, not a surprise considering that low A-dot, about 40% of his pass attempts, which is also pretty insane. A lot of statistics here around Mike White's game were just an anomaly, or just an outlier, I should say. Pretty absurd. But what really sticks out to me is that low A-dot. I think that really lends itself to Jameson Crowder. Corey Davis looks like he's going to be out again. Jameson Crowder went 8 for 84 last week. I think he's in line for another 8 or 9 targets this week. So in those PPR leagues, I would be firing up Jameson Crowder as a pretty safe play. He's also, interesting enough, leading all Jets wide receivers in red zone targets, which is not necessarily something that we did expect. I mean, injuries had something to do with it, but I mean, they've all been injured. So I do like Jameson Crowder as a wide receiver 3, pretty safe play to start your week off.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, Mike White was the first quarterback I heard since Steve Young to come back from an 11-point deficit and have over 400 yards in his first career start.
It's a good stat. I mean, Mike White, I mean, the expectations were low, and he undoubtedly exceeded them. Y'all are listening to the Fantasy Hot Read Week 9 Preview. As always, I'm your co-host, Tyler at FF Tyler O, and joined by my good friend, Dominic at Envision FF. Dominic, it is great to have you on the show, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Love being here, as always. When we get a chance to do it together, we don't do it often enough.
That is a fact. And folks, if you're listening to us on the pod, do us a quick favor, head over to the JWB Fantasy YouTube channel, hit subscribe. We are live streaming our podcast to those YouTube channels, so you can find our content there along with JWB Fantasy. They got some Dynasty stuff too. So a lot of content flowing out there between the two of us. Moving along, Browns and Bengals. Bengals, Dom.
Yeah, love the Bengals. I loved them last week, and they screwed me out of my survivor pool, which, you know, could have cost me about $4,000 or $5,000, but you know, whatever. I'm still going to go with them this week. I really like them. I don't think that Joe Mixon's going to have a good week this week, though, because as much as Cleveland's been playing pretty bad lately, their run defense is really, really good. So I do think this is going to be another huge game for Joe Burrow. Obviously, Jamar Chase is the guy there that you really want in the pass game. He had 201 yards a couple weeks ago. He had another great game last week against the Jets. They just didn't get it done at the end. But I do really – I'd love Joe Burrow this week. He could be another top 10 quarterback. But if you want to take a flyer, if you're missing on, you know, somebody, I don't know if you're missing Gronkowski or something like that, I really like C.J. Uzomah. I think he could get a one or two touchdowns this week. I know he's had those games where he's had two touchdowns or one touchdown or whatever, and I do think he's going to get another touchdown this week. So if you're looking for a low-end tight end, or if you're looking for a weird flex play or something, if you're one of these people that likes to start a tight end as your flex, I certainly think you can do worse than C.J. Uzomah, or even on DFS, because I know he's only $3,900 on DraftKings. He's a great play for DFS this week.
Browns side of the ball. Browns are kind of a mess right now, obviously, with all the OBJ drama going on right now. It seems as though OBJ will not take another snap for the Browns, at least this year. Mayfield, he's got that messed up non-throwing shoulder, still playing. They're running backs. There's a litany of injuries across the board. Chubb is back. Hunt is still out. It's tough to have a clear take here. you know, obviously you're starting Chubb and Landry. I probably look elsewhere than Mayfield this week if you can. But the one thing I will say is that speculative ads grabbing Donovan Peoples-Jones and Rashard Higgins, either one of the two, putting him on your bench, seeing if one of them can take that place of OBJ. I mean, it's a couple years ago, if I were to say take the place of OBJ, you'd say that's almost impossible, but he's been a non-factor this year. So I think that Higgins and DPJ are at least worth a roster spot at this point to see if one of them can emerge as the number two with Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, love Peoples-Jones. He was the five-star going into Michigan. He didn't really do anything in Michigan, but coming into the league, he's actually had some really solid games, so I really like him going forward.
Broncos at Cowboys. Cowboys, Dom.
Yeah, you can start up everybody on the Cowboys. The Broncos, I mean, I know they're 4-4 right now, but they've pretty much given up on the season. They know they're going to fire Vic Fangio after the season. But you know you're going to have Dak Prescott back for this game, so that's going to be good. I still wouldn't start Michael Gallup. I do love CeeDee Lamb, obviously. Also, got to love Amari Cooper. Had a touchdown last week. But Dalton Schultz, you know, you're really going to want to start him. He's taken over that Jason Witten role where he, no matter what he does, he just seems to always be in the top 10 for tight ends at the end of each week, or especially at the end of the year. So he's taken over for Blake Jarwin. Everybody thought Blake Jarwin was going to be the guy last year. He got injured. Dwight Schultz took over for him last year. He's continued that trend this year. So I really love, you know, Dwight Schultz going forward. And obviously Ezekiel Elliott, I think could be a top five running back this week, but for a longer shot, I really like, you know, Dwight Schultz this week.
I believe it is Dalton, but Dalton, Schultz. Right. Yeah, it's all good. Schultz is a guy I'm with you 100% on the call, though. The dude has been a stud at a position that is an absolute mess. So with you on Schultz, another tight end. I'm going to the Broncos side of things. Fant is on the COVID list, likely missing this matchup. Even when Fant is healthy right on the field, Albert O, when he is healthy, is still getting some looks. Nothing startable, but still gives me some optimism going into this of Albert O getting a full-time role. You know, think about how Logan Thomas went down and RSJ just kind of filled in and took all of it. They didn't platoon the position. They really just had one person step in and take that role. I believe that's what's going to happen here with Albert O. I think he can easily get into 70% routes run per dropback, which you'll love to see at the tight end position. I think Albert O is one of the best streamers of the week, especially in this game, has a 49.5 over under. And I truly believe Albert O is a great red zone threat. So he could also come down with a touchdown on top of some decent volume. So if you're hurting at tight end, Albert O is probably on your waivers. Go grab him and stream him this week. I think it's going to be good for you. Texans at Dolphins. This should be a good one here, Dominic. I gave you the better side of it, though, Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't know if you gave me the better side of it or not. I mean, both these teams are 1-7. They've, you know, both won their first game of the year and then have lost every game since. You know, you have Tua here. You have Jalen Waddle. Devontae Parker should be back. I don't really know who you would want to start here. You could probably start Myles Gaskin if you want to. I think you could start Tua. He has had a couple of good games. He had over 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in when they were in London. He had 4 touchdowns and 300 yards against Atlanta the week they came back. So I think you certainly could start him here, and you could easily see 275 yards and maybe 3 touchdowns out of him. I just don't know who they're going to go to. It could go to Waddle. It could go to Parker. It could go to Gaskin. It could go to somebody else that's going to end up coming in there and coming off the practice squad or something. So I don't really think you want to start any of the weapons here, but if you're going to start anybody for the Dolphins, I think the only person you may want to start is either Tua or maybe Jason Sanders as their field goal kicker.
Texans, I'm avoiding this backfield at all costs. I do want to note that if you just look at the box score, it'll look like David Johnson was absolute dust, even though he kind of is, and they didn't play Lindsay at all. But the real issue here was, or what really happened was, it was just garbage time. So they were playing Rex Burkhead, so that's why he had more looks. But either way, it's just something you want to avoid. It is a committee on a very bad offense. So please, folks, don't waste your roster spots on these Texans running backs. But one player I'm starting to get intrigued by is Nico Collins. You know, this offense is shit, but I got to think there is room for someone else besides Brandon Cooks to have some type of fantasy viability, especially when Tyrod returns. You know, 2 fantasy players viable on this Texans offense. Is that too much to ask? Maybe it is. But at the same time, Nico Collins' snap shares on the rise. He's had 15 targets over the last 3 games. I really like his college profile. I believe that Nico Collins, maybe in some of those deeper leagues, like 12, 14 man, maybe a little bit deeper benches. I mean, in your 8 or 10 man leagues, probably no interest in Nico Collins. But if you're in a little bit deeper of a league, or you're just hurting at wide receiver and you got a spot, I like the idea of putting Nico Collins at least on your bench and seeing how this goes, particularly when Tyrod comes back in. Falcons at the Saints. You got your Saints, Dominic.
Yeah, this game's going to be ugly. With it looks like it's going to be Trevor Siemian starting here. It looks like the Jameis Winston's out for the year, obviously with a torn ACL. Michael Thomas is out for the year with an ankle injury. He even said he waited too long to get the surgery. I think he just wanted to get out of the New Orleans Saints. I think this is going to be his way of doing it. So you don't really have anybody here on the Saints you want to start. I think the only person that, and everybody's going to start him anyway, is Alvin Kamara. I don't think anybody else on the Saints is worth really starting this week. Kamara could have a great week. In a real, real pinch, you might be able to start Mark Ingram in a flex position, but it's going to be a very low end and a very iffy play if you do that. So if you don't have Alvin Kamara, I would honestly probably stay away from all the Saints, except maybe the defense in this game.
Thoughts on Taysom Hill?
As long as he comes back, I mean, he's been out for the last 3 weeks with the concussion, but if he does come back and is able to play, he did play four games last year. He was a quarterback one in all four games. So if he's in there, I do like him as a quarterback one, but we'll have to see if he comes back this week or if he's cleared from the concussion protocol yet.
Gotcha. Falcons, you know, they already have issues running the ball, and coming up against one of the more elite run defenses in the NFL against the Saints, it should make matters worse. Saints run defense is second DVOA, second in yards allowed per carry. They're great. You can't really run on the Saints no matter what team you are. So Falcons going to have to rely on the pass. Not a big surprise. Like, obviously, Patterson and Kyle Pitts are pretty safe plays at this point. But another wide receiver deep stash, just kind of keeping on the theme of my Nico Collins call, is Tajae Sharpe, someone to look after. He's really taken the role that, you know, Ridley, hopefully, you know, things are okay with Ridley, and Ridley's getting the help and time away that he needs. But he's taken the Ridley role, and he had a respectable 5 for 58 line last week on 6 targets. Falcons are certainly not moving the ball on the ground. So again, this is a deeper wide receiver play similar to Nico Collins, but it could be worth the stash as there is passing volume to go around here with Ridley. I mean, Ridley was looking at like 10 targets a game. So, you know, it's not all going to go to Pitts. I mean, it's not all going to Cordarrelle Patterson. So just something to think about. Get him on your bench. I believe Tajae Sharpe is at least worth the stash to see if he truly takes this wide receiver role over. Because in all reality, like, there's no wide receiver one. I mean, Pitts, you can call him the wide receiver one. He's a tight end, kind of is more of a wide receiver. But there is an actual wide receiver here that could have some fantasy value. I would bet that it's Tajae Sharpe.
Yeah, and you do have to watch out because we saw what Carolina did with Pitts last week. They put Stephon, you know, Gilmore on him and were able to close him down. The Saints obviously have Lattimore as well. They can do that with him as well. So if the teams are going to start considering him their WR1 and putting their best Pro Bowl safeties or cornerbacks on him, they will be able to shut him down. As big as he is, the cornerbacks can shut him down, so they're going to need somebody else there. And if Tajae Sharpe could be that guy.
Raiders at Giants. Giants, talk to me.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen here. Daniel Jones is going to be there, but Saquon Barkley is still injured. Plus, now he's on the COVID list. Kenny Galladay's probably not going to be there. Looks like Sterling Sharp's going to be out for a couple of weeks. Kadarius Toney looks like he may be back, but he keeps getting injured every game. But I do think that, you know, if you are going to start anybody here, it is going to be Kadarius Toney. We did see what he could do. He had 180 yards in his one game where he wasn't injured. Other than that, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be the only person they have to target there. So they are going to have to go to him. The Raiders defense does not really scare me at all. So if you're going to start anybody here for the Giants, it would be Kadarius Toney. The offensive line has been terrible, so you don't even really want to start Devontae Booker in this one. Anthony Thomas, their good left tackle, is out again. He's on injured reserve right now. So if it's not Tarius, it's bust in this game because you don't even really want to start Evan Ingram.
Yeah, that Evan Ingram, even though he caught that touchdown last week, I'm with you on that one. Raiders, the Raiders offense is actually looking better post-Gruden. Reminder that Kenyon Drake, they were on bye last week, so we didn't see the Raiders. Kenyon Drake had 17 touches in week seven. Perhaps they signed him to a decent deal this offseason, and maybe Gruden didn't want to play him. I don't know. I'm speculating, narrative driven here. But at the end of the day, we saw Kenyon Drake with 17 touches in week seven. It's too early. It's too much, like, small of a sample size to say that, like, this offense has changed. They're going to give Drake the ball more. But, again, running back's a tough position for a lot of people. We've seen a lot of running backs go down. Some RBs are still on IR. I think Kenyon Drake is worth getting on your bench at the very least. I'm not going out there telling you need to go start Kenyon Drake. But we know the landscape of running backs. We know how fast things can change. And 17 touches in week seven, people may have forgot about him because of the bye. He is their preferred pass-catching back, which is great for fantasy. I believe Kenyon Drake is absolutely worth a roster spot at this point.
Yeah, in week seven, Josh Jacobs got injured. He had a chest injury in the second quarter, so he missed the second half of the game. So that's a lot of why Kenyon Drake did get those 17 touches. But it does show that they do like him there. And if Jacobs isn't fully back now, they could give Drake a lot more play this week just to bring back Jacobs slowly.
Pats, Panthers.
Panthers, Chuba Hubbard has been doing pretty good in the absence of Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey looked like he was going to practice today. I don't know whether he did or not, but he is eligible to come off IR. I don't think that means they're going to bring him back this week. They already tried to bring him back too fast once this year, and it didn't work out. They did the same thing last year, and it didn't work out. So I do think it's going to be Chuba Hubbard again this week. DJ Moore is also going to be there, but I think he's going to be pretty much shut down. We know that Bill Belichick's able to shut down your best weapon. What weapon are they going to have there? It's not Sam Darnold. They know that they know how to shut him down, so it's going to be obviously DJ Moore. So if you're going to have somebody in this game that might actually break out, it might be Robbie Anderson, who has done absolutely nothing this year. But if they're able to take DJ Moore out of the game, they're going to have to go to somebody with the ball, and it's going to have to be Robbie Anderson. So he's not going to get you maybe 10 for 200 like Jamar Chase, but you may be lucky. He may give you 8 for 80, and based on what he's been doing this year, that's way better than you expected out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I've been burned by Robbie Anderson personally too much, so I can't co-sign that, Dom, but just, you know, that's how it works with fantasy. As soon as I back off the player, they break out. So wouldn't shock me. He's getting the volume. He's running the routes. Pats, I don't think I'm going to watch this game. 41-point over-unders probably would be kind of ugly. Don't have a great call here, but I hear this every single week, Dominic. But I think I'm ready to call it on an unsuspecting week. It's going to be Jacoby Myers' first NFL touchdown, week 9 against the Panthers. He's getting the volume. He's already a fine flex play. But Jacoby Myers, man, never scored an NFL touchdown. So this is going to be the week. I'm calling it week 9.
Yeah, I like that call, especially because the Panthers have one of the top DVOAs against opponents' running backs. So we know that the Patriots are going to want to run the ball. They may not be able to, so they're going to have to pass it a lot more. So that's a good chance for Myers to get his first touchdown.
Love it. Bills at Jags. Sorry, man. Jaguars.
Hey, what are you going to do? I mean, it's the fighting Urban Myers against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are going to crush them. We just have to hope we can find something in this game. The saddest part of this Jags team is that their leading receiver is Jamal Agnew. He has the most targets on the team. You know, the most A-dot and everything. So if you're going to take a long shot, obviously you're going to play James Robinson as long as he's healthy. He did get injured a little bit last week, but hopefully he's back and able to play. It looks like he's going to play. But if you want to start somebody as a really, really, really long deep threat, then you can start Jamal Agnew. But that's certainly a boom or bust play, because if he doesn't get you a touchdown, he's not going to really do much of anything, especially with that Buffalo Bills defense being as good as they are. They shut down Miami last week. They've been shutting down pretty much everybody except Tennessee over the past month of the year. So I would probably stay away from everybody in this game. But if you need to take a really, really deep flyer, if you're in some weird league where you have to start at least one player for on each team for the year or something, this week's your Jaguars week, then I would start Agnew.
I like to call it. Agnew has carved himself out a nice little role on this Jags offense. Bill said, I'm not giving up on Emmanuel Sanders after one bad game. I know he put up that goose egg last week. Probably hurt a lot of folks who roster him and started him just like me. But he's still continuing to lead the Bills in snaps and routes run, and he gets plenty of deep looks. I know you probably got a bad taste in your mouth after that big zero and you want to bench him, but this is just not the time to do it. The Bills are a dynamic passing offense. They will pass regardless of the situation. Fire up Emmanuel Sanders and forgive him for week 8 and look ahead. Vikings, Ravens. Ravens side of the ball.
It's going to be the battle of the Barneys. You know, we got the purple against the purple here. This is going to be a Lamar Jackson game. Obviously, Minnesota's defense is not great, so we're going to get a lot of Mark Andrews getting the ball here. You could probably have 15 targets in this game. Hollywood Brown might get 15 targets in this game. But if you want to start, we'll go with a long shot here again. You know, Rashad Bateman, he's been getting a lot more plays since he came back. He was injured for the first part of the year, but since he's been coming back, he's been getting, you know, 6 or 7 targets a game, getting 60, 70 yards a game. And if he's able to do that against Minnesota, I think he could do, you know, very well here for you. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Odell Beckham, his rookie year in New York, where he missed the first 4 games. Nobody knew what to expect, and then he came in and just dominated. He's obviously not dominating to that aspect because the Ravens are a much more run-heavy team than the Giants were, but he is getting enough targets here where it makes it worth your while, and you could easily get 12 to 13 points out of here if you're willing to start him.
Vikings side of the ball, it's tough for me to even manufacture a take here. I think the Vikings are just simple. You start Dalvin, you start Thielen, you start Justin Jefferson, and Conklin is a fine tight end streamer. Not going to force something in here. Couldn't do it if I wanted to. Chargers-Eagles. Got your Eagles again. Dominant.
Yeah, everybody thought Kenneth Gainwell was going to be the guy last week. I thought he was going to be the guy last week, and it turned out to be Boston Scott. So who knows what to expect this week. The only player I would start this week because of that is actually the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. The Chargers are very, very bad against the run. I don't think the Eagles are going to be able to run the ball as good this week as they did against your Detroit Lions last week, where they had 350-yard rushes for the first time since like 1947 or something like that.
It was rough.
I think they said. But I do think that Jalen Hurts is going to be able to dominate on the ground this week. He's the fifth highest scoring quarterback for fantasy this year, even though he's not great for real life football. That doesn't matter for fantasy. He is great for fantasy. I think he's going to be great again this week, and he could be. I'm not going to say he's going to be, but he has a chance to be the top quarterback this week at the end of the week.
I really do like that call, and I feel like I'm definitely targeting him in DFS. I have been all week, and put a sour taste in folks' mouth last week with a pretty – it wasn't necessarily a bad game, but he didn't have to do anything because they just ran the ball at will. So love the Hurts call. Top three is well within his grasp. Chargers, today's Wednesday, folks, and it looks like Herbert was limited in practice, something to monitor. I'm not too worried. Herbert's in a bit of a slump, and quite frankly, this isn't the best get-right spot in terms of fantasy for him. I think the Chargers can easily win this game, but in fantasy it might not be. The Eagles have been a bit of a run funnel this year. Very stout against the pass, weak against the run, which is quite literally what the Eagles have, like the opposite of what the Eagles have been in years past. Like they just can't get both sides of that defense right, it seems. But I digress. The Chargers should be in a spot to run all over these Eagles if the game script allows and the Eagles don't, come up early on them. I think Eckler's in an absolute smash spot. And my other note here is don't worry about Mike Williams. So similar to Emmanuel Sanders, just keep trusting the guy. The Pats did what they did last week to Mike Williams, where they take a player out of the game completely. And unfortunately, that victim in week 8 was Mike Williams. So nothing real crazy here. I just think Eckler's in an absolute smash spot, and you got to keep trusting Mike Williams in this one. Packers at Chiefs. This one just got interesting, but that's my side of the ball. Chiefs, Dominic.
Yeah, it definitely did get interesting. Patrick Mahomes has been playing really bad this year, compared to what we expected him to play. He's already got 10 interceptions this morning. He had all of last year or the year before. Tyreek Hill hasn't been doing a whole lot lately. Travis Kelce actually had a fumble last week against the Giants. It was just an ugly game. They haven't been trying to run the ball. But you know who you're going to start here. You're still going to start Kelce. He's still going to be a top two or three tight end every week. You're still going to start Tyreek Hill. He's still going to be a top five wide receiver. And you're still going to start Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be a top three wide receiver, quarterback. Other than that, I don't really think you want to start anybody here. And, even with them, trying to build up that defense and everything, I still don't think you want to start this defense against anybody, including the Texans or the Jaguars.
Looks like Aaron Rodgers is out. Going to stay out of the drama in this one. He is just COVID positive and out. It's unfortunate, preventable. DA was out this week, last week, Aaron Rodgers this week. It's like the Packers, I don't want to say catch a break because a lot of this is their own doing, but still just unfortunate for fantasy. Luckily, the Chiefs have a Swiss cheese defense. The Chiefs are bottom two in run and pass defense. I mean, the Chiefs defense is god awful. I actually don't mind Jordan Love this week. Like, I am not a Jordan Love believer. I'm not a Jordan Love truther. I'm not even sure he's that good. However, you couldn't really ask for a better spot to walk into than playing against the Chiefs defense. This isn't one of those calls for your one QB leagues, but in a super flex league, you got a guy on a bye. Sure, fire Jordan Love up. It would not shock me to see him hang 300 passing yards on the Chiefs here. So I guess what it really comes down to is I'm trusting Aaron Jones. I'm trusting Davante Adams. I'm not concerned about their fantasy. Maybe their ceiling's not as high as it was with Aaron Rodgers, but I have zero concerns about Aaron Jones and DA moving the ball. I feel like they're going to have to lean on those two, and Jordan Love should be able to figure it out against this terrible Chiefs defense.
I think A.J. Dillon might actually be a good DFS play as well. I think he's might be in line for a touchdown as well.
Very well could be. For some reason, he's like 247 pounds, but they still give Aaron Jones majority of that goal line work. Don't totally get it, but, I think you're right, man. He's definitely due. They're giving him enough looks. Arizona, 49ers. 49ers, Tom.
Yeah, this is one of those weird division games where the 49ers always beat the Cardinals. The Cardinals always beat this team, and this team always beats the Rams. It's just weird how this team rotates. San Francisco, the only player, Debo Samuel, maybe the only person you want to start here. Jimmy Garoppolo, we know how much he loves Debo Samuel this year. He's the number 6 overall fantasy wide receiver this year. As long as he can stay healthy and in the game, he's been great. I do think he's got another great game here. So if you're going to start anybody on San Francisco, I think you can start Debo Samuel, and I think you can also start Eli Mitchell as long as he's, you know, healthy and plays the full game. I think he's also going to have a 100-yard game in this one.
Cardinals side of the ball, it looks like Kyler might sit, but he hasn't been ruled out. It seems like he's a true game-time decision like Dak was. Note that this game is at 4 p.m., which is much better than 8, but still not something you'll love to see. But one thing that we do note at this point in time is A.J. Green is ruled out due to COVID, testing positive for COVID. That puts me on Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore. I think they're both decent flex plays this week. I realize it could easily be, I believe, Colt McCoy under center. But regardless, I just think this is a good offense. It's a good offensive situation for Colt McCoy to walk into. Hopkins is a bit banged up. Didn't really play. Like, got hurt last week. Tried to come back in. It didn't really work out that well. So with A.J. Green out, Hopkins a bit banged up, regardless of who's at quarterback, and especially if Kyler's at quarterback, I do like getting Rondale and Kirk in there. I know the floor hasn't been the best for either one of them, but I do like taking a shot on both Rondale and Kirk to get over 100 yards and a touchdown. Either one of them get 100 yards and a touchdown this week. Titans, Rams. Rams side of the ball.
Yeah, start up everybody. The Titans are just as bad as the Chiefs are on defense. They're not going to have Derrick Henry in this game. I think that means the Titans are going to have to throw the ball, so it's going to be a higher paced game. So I really like Cooper Kupp here. He's been playing amazing. Obviously, this year's number one wide receiver. I really like Bobby Trees. I think Robert Woods is going to have a really good game here, and obviously Stafford. But obviously, everybody has Stafford. Everybody has Cooper Kupp. You're going to start them. But if you have a chance to start Robert Woods, I really do think he's going to have a very good game this week. I think he could have possibly multiple touchdowns and get over 100 yards finally, especially with DeSean Jackson not being on the team anymore. He was released. So you could have Van Jefferson. We know Tutu Atwell is not going to be there, but I do really like Robert Woods in this. I think he's going to have his breakout week finally.
Yeah. I mean, they could almost all break out at this point, Dom, in this matchup. So, but I feel like Woods needs it. I mean, he's been solid here and there, but it's been the Cup show, so it is time maybe for Woods to have a week as well. Titans, you know, this is probably one of the biggest questions of the week is, you know, what do the Titans do without Derrick Henry, right? We really don't know what that's going to look like. Regardless, this game has a 53.5 point over-under, so there's supposed to be points scored. Where is it coming from? I definitely expect AJB to get his, possibly Julio if he ends up playing. But I guess, like, I don't know if it's hot, but I would confidently start both Adrian Peterson, 36 years old, off the street, and Jeremy McNichols in this, especially in PPR league with McNichols. You know, AP is 36 off the street, but, like, this isn't just your average running back. We're talking, like, one of the best running backs we've seen in the last 25 years. So I still think he has gas in the tank. He still looked good on the Lions. I think they're not going to lean on him too much. I believe McNichols will get some, but, I mean, 15 carries is still very much in play for AP. So I think they both have some opportunities to finish in the top 30, especially in this game and how much the Titans like to run the ball. You know, one would think that when Derrick Henry goes down that you change your offensive game plan, right? But I don't necessarily trust Vrabel to do that right away. I expect him to keep the game plan at the way he was going. You know, if he had Derrick Henry, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's just what I think is going to happen. So I am with both of the, you know, starting both these guys up. I think they're both going to have some fantasy value going forward. Real quick, Dom, we have a question from the chat from Nick. 10 team league full PPR. Should I trade Khalil Herbert and Justin Jefferson for Adam Thielen and Damian Harris? So is Khalil Herbert and Justin Jefferson for Thielen and Damian Harris?
I think that's kind of you're giving up a little bit in the wide receiver. I think you're getting a little bit in the running back, because I do think Khalil Herbert, once obviously David Montgomery comes back next week or the week after that, he's not going to be anything anymore. And then you'll have the clear advantage with Harris as well as Thielen. So basically, to me, this is almost Thielen and Harris for Justin Jefferson. So in that case, if you're getting rid of Herbert, I think I probably would, because I think he's only going to be able to be useful for maybe one or two more weeks.
Yeah, I think I would take the other side of that, though. I think I would hold on to Justin Jefferson and keep Khalil Herbert. I think just when I look at a trade like this and there's one player here that stands out as being more elite than the others, is Justin Jefferson. And, you know, I think where we differ here, Dominic, is, you know, I think Khalil Herbert's been a pretty damn good runner. Not so much that he's going to take David Montgomery's job, but I believe he's been good enough to continue to get, you know, 8 to 10 touches per week. Like, is that enough to necessarily flex him or play him? Probably not, but you know, I would keep the elite side of Justin Jefferson in this one. I think it would also matter, Nick, what, you know, my record was going forward and what I needed to. So this is definitely a tough one. I think Dom and I are split on it. I would keep Jefferson. Dom would take the Thielen Harris. But trust your gut. I know that's not too helpful, but we are split honestly here. Finishing things off, Bears at Steelers. Monday Night Football, Steelers.
Yeah, you have Najee Harris. He's going to get 100% of the rushes. We know that. He had a touchdown last week, which is good to see. I think he should probably get another touchdown this week against that stellar Bears defense. If you're going to start somebody else here, it'd obviously be Diontae Johnson. He loves to drop the ball, but he loves to catch the ball too. He may get 20 targets. He's only going to catch 10 of them, though. But those 10 catches are going to be great, especially if you're in a PPR or half PPR league. I still don't trust Big Ben to do anything. I mean, he could get – we were talking about Mike White earlier, where he had like 45 attempts for like 200 air yards. That could be, you know, 85 attempts from Big Ben and only have 200 air yards in this one. It's just going to be a lot of short dink and dunk passes. That's why I really love Najee Harris in this one. I really love Diontae Johnson. If Eric Ebron does miss again, I think you can certainly start up Pat Freiermuth. If you really need a deep tight end play, but hopefully you're going to be starting somebody on Sunday, so it doesn't come down to the choosing between Freiermuth or Kmet in this one.
Bears side of the ball. Did the Bears unlock Fields with Gase off the field? I mean Nagy. I get him confused these days, Gase and Nagy. It's tough. It's just bad coaching. But with Nagy out of the picture, Fields looks like he was unlocked. He certainly looked better. We saw that rushing floor that we were all drooling about this offseason. But the Steelers are a tough defense, and Nagy is back. So we know that there's a ceiling with Fields. So at this point in time, prior to this last week, Fields was best left on your waiver wire. But at this point in time, we were able to see that upside with Fields actually happen on the field on a Sunday. I think Fields is at least worth the roster spot, especially if your starting quarterback position is like a little shaky, a little bit less secure. You've been streaming. Fields warrants at least a roster spot, because maybe Nagy watched this game and was like, wow, and maybe picked up a thing or two on how to properly use Fields, because he's been doing a very terrible job of it this year. So my big take here is just get Fields on your bench if you're QB needy.
Yeah, my fingers are crossed, because I have Tom Brady on bye this week, so I actually have Justin Fields as my quarterback for the week in one of my leagues.
All right, that's going to do it. Week 9 preview. Dominic, real quick, plug your Twitter, plug your work.
Yeah, you can find me at The Athletic. You can find me at rotoballer.com, as well as expandtheboxscore.com. And you can find me on Twitter at EnvisionFF.
And you can find me on Twitter at FFTylerO. That's all we have today, folks. Don't forget, tell somebody you love them.